Welcome to Breaking Barriers. You know your path. We know the obstacles. And we can teach you how to tear them down. And now your host, CEO and founder of Adapting Social, John Vigero.
Sounds good. Welcome to Breaking Barriers. Awesome. We have my guy Joe Gamalis. Is that how you say it?
Gamalis.
Very close. I literally, no joke, with the Y throws me off. I literally had to like try to, you know, when you see stuff in a dictionary, it gives you like the way to say it.
So anyway, dude,
stoked to have you on. For people. So first off, I met you back in Red Bank days. How did we meet initially? Do you remember? How
the heck originally,
were we at like an event or something?
It was another business.
No, I remember that. But I'm saying, like, how did we meet for that business, though?
Man, I don't even know.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, how did we meet?
It was through networking at some
aspect. It had to have been, right?
It was. And then,
I'm like, how did we meet initially? But anyway, so I met you years back, probably 3-4 years ago. You and your dad, great dudes. Now you're in the insurance game. And I guess the financial planning game.
Financial guidance, I guess you'd
say. Okay. Let me get technical. So, now, in a topic, so what I love about this, right, is you're the first person in 2024 that we're having a podcast with. Awesome. So I'm stoked, because we rescheduled this 10,000 times.
I know.
We made it. We made it. It was both of us. We made it, though, right? Now, when I bring people on, I typically like to go through the things in business that, you know, we can go both, personal and business, but in business that can be, you know, helpful, you know, help people, you know, help their businesses grow, you know, help them with different strategies, you know, to hold money, you know, be able to have better investments. And the one thing that almost every person I know on planet Earth that has, like, you know, I don't know one person that loves to pay insurance.
No one does.
so, but I want to start there because I think, you know, maybe you can help people listening in here understand, like, why they should love it. And I know it's a tough, I guess it's a pretty tough question, but when I put out that you were going to come on to the podcast to our listeners, a lot of people asked that question, right? I hate paying my insurance, or I hate insurance, I got this claim, whatever. I actually have a crazy story I'll tell you after this. But I want to start there with you. Talk to me about why people should love insurance.
So insurance is a broad topic, right?
There
is a lot of different insurances. At a basic level, if something happens, you want to make sure that you have your assets taken care of. So you buy a house, you buy a car, that's the basics, right? You're buying a you're getting a mortgage and the house burns down and you don't have insurance.
Right.
And that's, you kind of need, you need the insurance legally to get a mortgage.
But
if you're buying cash, it's a different story.
So
at a basic level, you want to make sure your assets are taken care of.
So and now, just to clarify, so if somebody buys a house cash, you're saying you don't have to get insurance.
You don't have to. No, mortgage, there's no mortgage to require it. So
the mortgage, the banks make you get it.
You can self-insure. Which,
and the same thing goes for a car or anything. So if you own something outright, technically you don't need insurance.
Not advised, but you can do it. I have clients of mine that they have their homeowners and they just self-insure. They just own a home. That's it. So, but with the insurance industry, we're talking about paying for it, it's not a fun thing, especially right now. The industry is borderline upside down. It is so expensive. Companies are leaving the state of New Jersey and other states left and right. So you kind of have to work with someone that's really going to be, I work, my agency is more of a consulting and less on price. So I like to just go through the coverages and make sure you understand what you're actually getting, not just focus on price, because, and I'll suggest, if there's something better, I'll tell someone to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, whatever's best for them. But if you understand what it, I think if you understand what you're actually getting, what the policy does for you in more detail, then it's a little better of a pill to swallow of what you're paying, instead of just like, what am I paying for?
I typically find myself, so I'll give you the story. So I had, and I'm not gonna mention the insurance company that I used for this. But so I had boat rentals, right? So I essentially purchased a couple houseboats. And in a nutshell, you know, I had like three houseboats. And in a nutshell, we had one go up in flames. I had a tenant on it, and I was renting them out. So it was full houseboats. So in the wintertime, so a tenant on it, I never met the wife of the tenant. I only met the husband. And he never mentioned anybody else being in the boat, whatever. Long story short, she was a drug addict. Didn't know that, right? And he was super straight, like good dude, like contractor, like whatever. Long story short, one day I'm up in the city. I get a phone call from the marina owner, who's my client. And he goes, get here now. And I'm like, and this guy like does not fuck around. Like this dude is like a serious dude. He passed away now, but he was a very serious dude. So he calls me, freaking out, and I'm like, what's going on? He goes, there's a fire on your boat, get here. And he hangs up on it, right? And I go, wait, excuse me? Because I have my personal boat there, and I have also these investments. Okay. So I'm like, okay. So I call him back. He's not answering now.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm darting from the city to get down there, right? Mm-hmm. And I get there. I kid you not. There's probably 3 or 4 fire trucks. There's, at this time, probably 3 to 4 different cop cars. And there's people from the brick patch taking pictures already on the scene. Because obviously I was late.
Yeah.
So I get there and I'm hiding. I want nothing to do with this, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm hiding. I'm tucked away in the corner. I'm tucked. Nobody can see me. I'm not even there. I'm a fucking tick on a cow's ass, right? Nobody can see me, right?
Yeah.
So I go in the office. I'm like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
And he's like, there was a fire in the boat. And I see this girl. And then, mind you, this is like 2 years ago. But this was probably late October, early November. So it's like cold out.
Yeah.
And so I just see this woman in the middle of the parking lot with a towel on her. She's soaking wet. And she's just like on a chair in the middle of the parking lot, right? And I'm like, who the fuck is that lady? Walk in, sneak in, right? I'm a tick on a deer's ass. And I go, what's going on?
Yeah.
And long story short, you know, they're like, this, you know, your tenant fell asleep while she was smoking a cigarette and the boat went up in flames, and luckily she didn't die. And I go, I don't know that lady. Who is that lady?
Yeah.
Right? Whatever. So long story short, everyone leaves, the boat's done, it's dead, right? It's a burnt piece of toast now.
Yeah.
So, and that boat was next to the other boats. So luckily there was not a 3 fire, but it burnt the siding off of, or like a little bit off. It was fixable.
Yeah.
So off my other boat. So anyway, long story short, I call the insurance person, you know, that I had.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, no problem, you know, just give us the information, whatever. So I give them the information. Long story short, I at this point I've been paying the insurance on these boats, and they denied my claim.
Really?
Yes. So I went through this whole battle, this whole thing, whatever else. Long story short, right? Like, I, at the point in time, did not know that for those types of, let's call it a vessel, or that dwelling on the water, you cannot rent them out. They're only for personal use, right? Did not know that. Long story short, so I just had to, like, essentially cut my losses. Luckily, the only blessing out of it was that I was Airbnb-ing them throughout the summertime before. And then that person who wound up, his wife wound up like ruining the boat, she paid up front for the winter. So between Airbnb and whatever else, technically I probably only lost like $1,000-$2,000 as opposed to the whole investment because I had that.
Oh, yeah.
But with that said,
yeah,
you know, for me, there's so many people out there that have that bad taste in their mouth when it comes to insurance. Cause like, okay, I pay. And then once it's time to pay the piper, boom. Right.
Yeah.
But now the difference is, right, is now the reason why I like it for certain things is it depends on how the value you put on that thing.
I agree.
If something, God forbid, something were to happen to a home, right, even if it was cash paid, if you have, you know, act of God, right, and a tree falls on your house all the way through the middle of your home, that's a $300,000 right there rebuilding the infrastructure of your home.
Yep.
Right. And most people, if you pay it in cash, that could put you in a bad position, or you may not be able to pay that, and then you're just fucked. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think there's things like that that make me feel like, all right, you know what? Like, obviously, it's important in certain areas.
Yeah.
Like, car areas, you know, it's tough because if somebody dies in an accident, or if there's something serious where it's like, you know, it could be $1 million lawsuit.
Yep.
Right. If you don't have $1 million on you, you know,
or an umbrella policy, right, covering your assets too.
So now on that topic for businesses, I see that you have things like cyber, you know, that you guys cover and stuff.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. So for people out there that obviously most people obviously now market online, store people's data for their customers on their websites and on their data, their servers. What does that cover?
So cyber, actually, I probably should update that on the site.
Yeah.
But a lot of the companies that I used to work with there, they don't write.
So they're done.
No, yeah. So a couple of them moved out. I use one of the companies called Chubb. I use them a lot.
I like that. Chubbs?
Yeah, Chubb. Yeah.
That's what we call Rob.
Yeah, exactly. but actually, on the commercial end. Sorry. That was funny.
You threw me off with that. It's C-H-U-B-B?
Yeah,
Chubb?
Yeah, Chubb.
Love that.
Yeah. And they're a great company, but on the commercial end, cyber used to be a lot easier to get.
Got it.
Right, it's just quick application, right. You're good. Yeah. Now with all the cyber crimes going on,
like, I don't even touch that.
It's a brutal process to do.
Right.
And you actually have to work with a company that can pretty much put the technology and the cybersecurity already in your business.
Right.
As a precautionary before right. you even get approved for the application.
Okay.
So when it comes to the commercial end, I actually remove myself from that the kind of the commercial on the home and auto side, or like just the business owner side.
Right.
And I refer that I have a separate contract yeah to do that to business because I don't want right. to deal with that. Yeah, so
I like that for a new nickname, dude. but let's add an S on it to make it cool, like Chubbs.
Yeah,
come on. Has nothing to, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Has nothing to do with the aesthetic. I'm just saying, like, I like the name Chubbs. I love it. And how did you come up with that nickname? Well, it is an insurance company.
That'll work.
Yeah.
But yeah, with cyber, it's important, and anyone that has a business should have cyber liability insurance.
Right.
It's just so that's important.
Yeah. Let's bounce around a little bit. I want to talk about so in insurance, right? You are in a space where it's so competitive, right? Yeah. It's similar to me. It's similar to real estate agents. It's similar to anybody in sales, right?
Yeah.
You can throw a pebble and hit a million sales agents, right?
100%.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, what is your tactic for somebody that's listening to this? Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not trying to get into insurance. You know, maybe they're trying to get in a different sales position. Mm-hmm. How have you grown your business? Mm-hmm. You know, and how long have you been doing this?
Been in the insurance industry 7 years.
Okay.
Had my own business for 4.
Okay. So but how have you built this up for yourself? Like, what's been the best, like, if someone's listening, they're like, damn, I want to get in, like, you know, real estate or whatever, mm-hmm. but it's all sales based. You know somebody, you got to sell somebody.
Yep.
What's your advice to them?
So what I did when I first started, and I actually started this before I started my agency, so kind of had a little bit of a leg up because I
when learned, you were doing this before with your insurance, with
the insurance company you were working with. Yeah, I was working with because that allowed me to, because I went from a salary and commission job to starting a scratch agency with no income.
Right? And why'd you do that though? What made you say, what made you jump? You said, fuck those guys?
No, they were great guys. They're great guys. I still refer them business for certain
That's
things
good.
I can't write. But I looked at the contract to becoming an agent with that company.
Yeah.
It wasn't as advantageous, and it was one of what they call captive agencies, so you can only sell that company.
Got it.
And I just felt, for me, I wasn't doing the right thing by the clients, because if it's not the best policy for you, I'm selling a brand.
Got
and
it.
That's fine to an extent, but if it's not the right thing for you, I kind of felt it wasn't morally right. So
got it.
I went the independent space where I can work with pretty much any company at this point, and I can do whatever I need to do.
Right.
But when I first started my agency, what made the difference for me was focusing on referral partners and strategic alliances. Because my entire practice, it's between 80 and 100 leads a month, hot leads that come to me.
Yeah.
That's all referral based.
Got it.
So I don't pay for leads, which most insurance agencies, they do like online, you know, EverQuotes
for
and
sure.
stuff like that.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I just don't think it's worth it. I'd rather invest in people.
Yep.
And what I did was I poured into other people. And
Got
I
it.
Just sent them business.
Got
because
it.
I read this book, The Go-Giver.
Yep.
You've heard of that?
I have not, but I like that.
I highly suggest everyone that's listening to
instead
this.
Instead of Go-Getter, Go-Giver.
Go-Giver.
I like that.
Go-Giver.
I like that.
Everyone.
Ross goes, I like the name. You don't like the name? Come on. Chubbs.
Chubbs, you got to read The Go-Giver.
Got
to read The Go-Giver. by Bob Berg.
Go-Giver. I like that because it plays on Go-Getter.
Yeah, it's the best.
Go-Getter, Go-Giver.
And it's all about giving with no expectation of return. But once you do that, things come back to you in spades and you can't turn off the spigot.
Mm.
But it's doing it wholeheartedly and not doing it with
for
the
something
hand
in return.
Out.
Yeah. But you know what the challenge with that though is? Mm-hmm. Is that, listen, I'm a big believer in that. I've done that for a lot of my career. Yeah. But in the back of your head, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're out there doing it, like, obviously you want to be a good person, you want to help, right? That's that's one thing.
Yeah.
But do you not feel like, even though you're doing it for that, from this mentality in the book, right?
Yeah.
That you're still doing it ultimately to get more business. That's just your new channel.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But the same token, if some people don't send me back business, but they do a good job on my clients, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't make money from it, but it helps someone out.
Right.
It's a win.
Because totally.
At some point, something will come back from that. It's
right.
like, okay.
So is this played to your moral compass, you're saying? Like, it's helped your moral compass?
More of a moral compass.
Okay.
But it also, I'd rather take the time to help other people's businesses succeed. And if it comes back to me,
right.
great.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, okay, it is what it is. It's not like I get burned because I'm helping people out.
Totally.
If I give people 100 leads and you get nothing back, okay, it is what it is.
Right.
But maybe you can spread that out to a few other people and something can happen.
Right.
If you're looking at it from a strictly business perspective.
Right.
But regardless, it's more of, I think for me, it's a steady business because I'm getting these leads now that are 80 to 100 leads a month, just hot leads.
Yeah.
Where I can invest in people instead of investing in online sites, which...
Totally, yeah.
Which I believe in marketing.
Yeah.
Marketing and branding, right?
Right. But brand building.
Brand building, but right. Specific companies
yeah.
that are used for insurance agencies
yeah.
to generate leads.
Yeah.
They just haven't been effective. I used them yeah. when I was in another agency and
right.
it just wasn't worth it. So
yeah.
I tried to find a different path
yeah.
and it worked. So we kind of like, my what I call referral partners, strategic alliances, they're like best friends now.
Totally.
Like they literally went, like a bunch of them came to my baby shower. My,
oh,
my,
nice.
My fiance's baby shower. Not, you know, whatever. But
yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But she, but they'll be at my wedding, right?
Yeah.
So it's that's they're not just business partners, they're
right.
friends and family now.
Totally.
Which is what makes
So would you say, so people, there's a famous saying where mm-hmm. it's not personal, it's business. Do you mm. do you prescribe to that?
It's not personal, it's business.
Yeah.
Not,
because what I'm hearing you say with that scenario
yeah.
is that business is very personal for you.
Yeah, I think
where,
it is.
Where most people, not most people, it's a lot of people, there's a group of people, right, that mm-hmm. think that, you know, subscribe to the fact that, like, business is business,
mm-hmm.
and you have to put the personal feelings aside and whatever else.
Yeah, I agree with that to an extent,
yeah.
that you put personal feelings aside, but at the same token, if I'm going to go to war with people,
yeah.
like, I want those 20 people in my corner that I'll go to war with.
Right.
Like, that's where it becomes personal because I know them more on a personal level.
Right.
If it's just business,
right. it's different.
It's not deep enough of a relationship
yeah.
for me to want to invest time, money, effort, resources into their business too
yeah.
to help them grow.
Right.
Because then it's like, okay, if it's just surface level and there's nothing deeper, it's just business, it's like,
yeah.
what's, why would, like you're saying, insurance agents, real estate agents, what's the difference of them just going to work with someone else?
Totally.
If it's just business is business, then they're not going to, we're not going to work together. We're not going
right,
to work together.
Right.
So,
and that's a good point though, because I think a lot of people don't like kind of know, and we're moving into a space, right?
Mm-hmm.
For people like you and I, right? How old are you?
27.
Okay. I'd like you to think about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, wait, is that 20?
No, like 20.
Yeah.
So 27. All right. So yeah. damn. So I'm 32. I'm going to be 33 this year.
Okay.
And fuck again. Oh, Rob, how old are you? My God, turning 34 this year or turning 35? Stop it.
Oh, man.
The big 35?
Big 35.
Shit, chops. God damn. Anyway, so the whole, I'm still not over that yet. But anyway, but the whole thing though is that like yeah. most people that are the Gen Zs, right? So
yeah.
you'd qualify for Gen Z, technically.
I shouldn't even know that.
Yeah, so you're technically a Gen Z.
Okay.
And but the younger side of the Gen Zs,
yeah.
right? And then even past that now, obviously you have Gen Alpha, which is our kids, right?
Okay.
So, but Gen Zs, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have the least loyalty ever in consumer history
yep.
because they have so many options, right?
Yeah.
It's not that they're assholes,
yeah.
right? I mean, so at the end of the day, it comes down to the future of people. Like, for instance, like
mm-hmm.
I grew up, and I'm sure same with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your dad obviously is in the contractor space too.
Yep.
You know, you grew up where your dad got referrals because people go, oh, you wanna, what? And what's his name? Is he Joe too?
Michael.
He's like, oh, you know, Michael, you know, you want a good painter? You gotta call Michael,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you know, Chris outside told me, Mike is the guy,
yeah.
right? And I trust Chris,
yeah.
I'm going to Mike because it's like, I saw he did a good job based on
yeah.
Chris's house. Chris is recommending him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna trust Chris and I'm gonna say, you know, I'm gonna give this guy a shot. The way that Gen Z operates is, they don't give a fuck about Mike. They
yeah.
care about the price.
Yeah.
And they want information. So
mm-hmm.
they're going to look up all the reviews. They're going to look up everything else. And they're going to say, all right, you know, screw Mike. I'm going with this other guy because
mm-hmm.
this guy's cheaper and he can do it faster.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they care about. And honestly, what mm-hmm. we've seen, though, is what technology and things coming fast
yes.
to this generation.
Mm-hmm.
That's how millennials, we were the generation that grew up. Like Windows 95 came out, right? And I remember, like, you know, Chubbs is there, 95, right? So, but
born yet.
Right, like, right, right. So, like, at 95, you remember playing all the computer games and shit?
Yeah.
And it's like, or backyard baseball. You ever play backyard baseball? All those things, right? Mm-hmm. Pablo Sanchez, come on, Sanchez. And at the end of the day, the thing that's crazy is that when you look at it, it's like,
yeah.
we, like, I had a couple years of my life that I can, like, I was super cognitive in knowing, like, the only thing I could do is go outside and play, and things took forever.
Yeah.
Like, but now, and dial up, like it took forever, the computers are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gen Zs grew up in their first ever like environment where it's like mm-hmm. things are fast.
Yeah.
So they want things fast. The point is that, so, you know, brand building is important
mm-hmm.
and accessibility is important, right? Because
mm-hmm.
ultimately, at the end of the day, the way Gen Z's operate is if they're looking for things and they can't find it, you don't live. Yep. You're not alive, right? Yep. So I wanted to ask that for you because you are a Gen Z, yep. which is so crazy.
It's interesting you say that, yeah.
Yeah, which is so crazy because, you know, I don't think you operate like a Gen Z at all.
I got an old school mentality.
You do, and I see that through. And that's why, like, when you said 27, I'm like, oh damn, he's a Gen Z.
Yeah.
But so I don't think you operate there. But a lot more people that are in your demographic do.
Yeah. Sure.
So for people that are out there listening to this, one of the things I will say, right, because we work with a lot of industries that are super, you know, they're older, right? Yeah. Like insurance has been around since the dawn of time.
Yep.
Right. It's an older, archaic industry typically.
Yeah.
And you know, the biggest thing is being accessible and having a brand, right? Mm-hmm. If people, and the one thing is Gen Z's will flex, you know, Bamba socks.
No.
So they got famous and they grew tremendously. The fastest growing sock company in the world.
Okay.
Because of one scenario. You buy a pair of socks, they donate a pair of socks to somebody homeless or in a country that needs socks. Cool. Now, Gen Zs will get on board, same with millennials. This is one thing they have in common, or one of the things, is that they'll get on board with something that has a big mission. So I'm willing to pay more if this company is doing something and I feel morally right that I'm buying a pair of socks, but I'm not buying just a pair of socks for me now. I'm buying a pair of socks that's getting donated to somebody who needs it. So that's the two things. It's accessibility and then secondarily the other one. Yeah. So that being said, in most sales industries, what's so tough is that over time, right? It's like I actually have a really good friend. His father is a mogul in insurance.
Okay.
Dude's filthy rich.
Awesome.
Filthy, right? But he's been doing it for like 30 years.
Yeah.
Now, he was saying that like in sales, just in general, sales has shifted so much that like the loyalty things have changed. So I guess I'm asking you, right, in your game. So right now you're still doing it the old school mentality way.
Yeah.
Right? Now as people are getting older, right, because you're young, but you have a whole career ahead of you.
Yeah.
You have 20, 30 years in your horizon. Same with me, right? So how do you see yourself adapting? Because I think the one thing we're seeing is that now that scenario is starting to change where it's like, oh, you know, talk to Joe, invest in just relationships. Also, the one thing I love and I also like don't love about what you're saying, right, is that it requires all of your time, right? Like as an example, like you have one child, right?
One.
And I'm sure, do you want to have more? Or just
Yeah,
more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one child is a lot. Like there's a lot of work.
There is a lot of work.
So I'm saying, so most, when I was younger starting adapting social, I was out there grinding and shit and I didn't give a fuck about my time.
Yeah.
But when you have a kid and a wife.
I already see that now.
You know what I mean? Yep. Now it's different.
Yeah.
So the one thing I always, and I got this from Tony Robbins a couple years back, but Tony was like, if you want to scale something and your time is your number one asset and the company's number one asset, if you're always out and you, in order for the business to grow, you have to be physically somewhere, you'll never scale to where you want to be.
Yeah.
So for people listening in, I guess two things, two-parter. Okay. One thing is it's developing. I like to look at like a chair, right? Like a stool.
Mm-hmm.
Like think about business revenue like a stool. What channels is the stool bringing in of revenue, right? Mm-hmm. So right now you have one stool leg that's bringing you in a good amount of revenue, which is good. Thank goodness.
Thank God, yeah.
But I always look at it like as a business, we always have to layer ourselves.
Correct.
And say boom, boom, boom. That's why one thing, if I was you, I'd be fucking doing left and right. Is having a podcast.
Yeah.
I would have a podcast where you want like your biggest, like people who are like prospective clients for you, pop them on. The one thing, and this is for people listening in, I said this a million times on the podcast already, on this podcast, but it's like, it's the way to not solicit somebody and to get them on. Like perfect example, like I've had probably close to like, over the past 5 years, I've probably had close to like 50 people. I've had 190 interviews and I've probably had like close to 50 people become clients, but I intentionally brought them in because I was like, I want to get to know them. Because I didn't know them. I never heard, I never met them before, whatever else. But they were huge companies. And my team emailing them, advertising to them, all this other stuff didn't work. Right? Sometimes that happens. Yeah. Especially when they're big enough where they're like, I don't need you.
Yeah.
Right? But you get them on a podcast. Now you're sitting here and you're having a great conversation. Yeah. You kind of get to know each other a little bit. And then it's like, oh, hey, you know, by the way, you know, I want to do this on my website or whatever else. Or my insurance is looking like this. So it's definitely something I would recommend for you. But for people out there listening, it's a way, if you're in sales and you need to talk to people, it's content, which is great for social. And then additionally, you're meeting people, right? As opposed to you having to be everywhere. But anyway, back to what I'm saying. Where do you, how do you see yourself strategically shifting, knowing that as the years go on, that people, because eventually your kids and my kids will need insurance, right? Yep. When they're older.
Exactly.
Right? And you'll still be, you know, young enough to be in the game.
Yeah.
So how do you see yourself kind of pivoting?
For me, well, you hit the nail on the head, actually. Yeah. It's branding.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing that I've lacked personally and professionally.
Yeah.
And it comes down to time, like I said, because I'm running technically two businesses in one.
Mm-hmm.
So with that alone, before even my son was here, it was already a challenge.
Oh,
so,
God, I can only imagine.
Yeah, it's a lot. But it's something that needs to be done for me personally, getting the content out there, because I have a lot of friends, probably even family at this point, that don't even know what I'm doing.
Yeah, right? And that's a fucking issue.
That's an issue.
Yeah. That's an issue.
Which when I was going through 2023, I'm like, wow, that needs to be hit in 2024.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that's huge, because if I can't get out there and talk, because I can only make so many phone calls a day. My team can only make so many phone calls a day.
Right.
And with the influx of leads that are coming in now, I had to hire a second full-time assistant just to max out that time.
Good.
So it's good.
Yeah.
But we could be doing a lot more.
Right.
Right. So for me, it's getting out there, doing more content, branding. I mean, that's one thing we're talking about right now. So
that's huge. And I think that's the one thing, too, that people – so the segmented difference, and I'm not saying this for you because I think you understand it, but for people that are listening to this, it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody says to me, okay, you know, I want to build my business, but I've been advertising on social media and I'm not getting leads from it, it's like, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
When you market on social, right? So the difference between social and Google and search engines. Do you know the differences?
Well, social is more of content getting out there. Then Google's more direct. You know, more, I guess, specialized. Like you're targeting people more specifically.
Right. Well, they're looking for something.
Yeah. Like they're searching keywords.
Right. Like if you correct. Well, the difference is I'm saying is like, so if I'm on you know Instagram, right, and I'm a surfer, right, and I'm you know, and somebody knows based on my interest that's advertising to me says John's a surfer, which for the record I'm definitely not, but if I was you know, and they're like, all right, boom, I'm gonna advertise him a surfboard because he's a surfer, right, I could already bought a board a month ago, right, before I saw this, and now I'm not gonna buy, but you wasted advertising dollars on me. Now I'm not gonna buy, but now I know the brand, I saw it, so it's good for branding. Whereas Google and major search engines is good for people who say I'm looking for a surfboard. Now I'm competing for that user and that prospective customer because they're hot. That's why so many people, especially in insurance, most of the companies we work with, the cost per clicks are outrageous because you're competing with New York and you're competing with all these major companies like Allstate, NJM. They're putting millions of dollars a year into search because they know that. They know that somebody is going to that. If they're typing in insurance, that means they're looking for insurance.
100%.
Whereas on social, they're not. So just understand that, guys. When you're looking to market and advertise, if you put your ad spend into social, that's for branding, right? You don't go to Google or search engines to brand. Like, you go there to get hot buyers now. I want them, right? Versus, okay, who am I? You know, what do you do? Blah, blah, blah. So I wanted to share that because most people will spend a bunch of money on Facebook and Instagram and be like, I didn't get shit back. And it's like, you're not supposed to because it's more brand.
Yeah, and what you're thinking about now, we're just saying.
Okay.
With insurance related, although it's not like you're saying, branding, it's more, oh, hey, I may have just got insurance.
Yeah.
But insurance, you can re-look at every 6 months, every year. Yep. You're talking about that side of the business. Other sides of things that you set up long term, that's a different story.
But, right.
Even having the branding, although it's not hot right now, if they get that awareness,
right,
then they can, if they know you're there, they may think of you next time because every 6 months you should be reviewing it.
Totally.
If it's auto insurance, right?
Totally.
If it's homeowners every year, just looking at what you're looking at. So it's very, very good perspective to look at.
Yeah, you know, and the one thing I'll say though too is when you think about like an athletic shoe company, what's the first thing that pops in your head?
Nike.
Right. When you think about a hamburger you get anywhere in the world.
McDonald's.
Right. And like the only reason why we know now, does McDonald's make the best burger?
No.
Right. This is brand. That's just pure brand. Right? And the one thing I even thought about too is like when you think about Apple, I love Apple.
Yeah.
I'm like huge, huge Steve Jobs fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge, like, I love their products, love their like durability of it. But when you think about it, Apple could put out like a fucking bidet in my toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's going to buy it.
Everyone's going to buy it. I was listening to something yesterday, and they were talking about how strong Apple brand is.
They could do anything.
Anything.
They could literally do anything, right? Yeah. And so, but the point is, at the end of the day, that's the sign of a great brand, right? And so, like, that's why it's so important to invest in that. And the one thing, too, just for advice for you as well as anybody that's listening right now, in 2024, it's all about media content. People just want to, and to your point, right? So it's about, you know, in some spaces, if people are seeing you and you're going the route of, like, okay, I'm doing referral systems, which is fucking awesome. That works. Like, it's, most businesses operate off of that. It's not just you. It's most businesses. Now, but the brand building side of it, people want to see your face. They want to see you talking about what you're doing. They want to see you behind the scenes. They want to see you at a show, at a conference. They want to see you working with a client. They want to see you having wins and losses and talking to your team. That's how they want to. That's how they want to know why and if they want to work with you. Because the one thing too that people that they don't realize is that when people go and they see that online, you know, Joe's a good dude. Before they ever meet you, and they're like, wow, this guy's good energy, he's a nice guy, he's a father, he's this, he's that. You know, then they're like, all right, you know, this is a nice guy. I want to give him a shot. Versus having no idea who Joe is or just seeing pictures of Joe or whoever. And I'm not saying, I'm just saying in general, you know, people want to see the you know, the behind the scenes. You know, they want to see who they're going to potentially work with.
I like that.
Now let's shift gears. So what does success look like to you, right? So now that you're a business owner, right, for the past 2 years, right? In most businesses, people start, and this is another Tony Robbins thing that, that he shared. You know, he said, "In people start a business typically for two reasons, out of desperation or out of like a passion, right? Now, in this instance, a lot of times when you build a business, you build it to be essentially something that supports your lifestyle, right? Now, that being said, is there like what does success look like to Joe, right? So like if you were like the peak of the mountain, like you achieved everything you wanted to achieve. Give me the visuals, like give me the understanding. What does that look like?
When I think about success, it's funny, I actually am part of a, just recently, part of a men's group that meets, and we just really just went over this, so your dreams and details and vision and everything. And if I boil it down to the very basic, it's just waking up every day, doing what I want to do, when I want to do it, and not answering to anyone.
Right.
And doing with people I love and care about.
Right.
At a basic level,
right?
Because building a business and having income and having, you know, wealth is great, but what do you do with it,
right?
For me, it's the big free. It's just freedom for me.
Yeah,
to be able to do what I want to do,
right?
And not have a price tag attached to anything, or not have any,
right?
Any, you know, just be able to provide the best for my family.
Yep.
Because growing up for me, me and my brother, if we want something, we had to go and work for it. I mean, we started working at 14.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I was like, you want a phone? Go get a job. You want a car? Go get a job.
Right.
So we had to grow up very quick. I mean, I was getting the bus by myself in fourth grade and locking down the house.
Right.
I mean, right now, I mean, probably get typhus call on you or something. I don't know. But like, it's just being able to provide. When I see success for myself, it's being able to provide the lifestyle that I didn't have. Yeah, not given, right? Nothing against my parents, right?
Yeah.
They worked hard.
Totally.
And they still work hard. But I want to provide something better for my kids.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why I work so hard to be able to do that.
Right.
And be able to give him choices. Like not have to work 14 if you don't want to. I want to teach that work ethic.
Right.
Right. But be a kid for a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And be able to.
So here's my challenge.
Yeah.
Right. With that. And I've struggled with this. Do you know Sal Ventry?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So Sal's like one of my best friends.
He's a great guy.
So we were having this conversation at New Year's Eve, past New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And we were saying how part of the reason why you are who you are is because you didn't get those things you want to provide your son.
True.
Now, giving that to your son, are you going to create somebody who's more spoiled or maybe more entitled? And again, not saying that, you know, that you would want that.
No.
But with the things that you didn't have made you into Joe that you see today.
It's true.
Which is tough. And so him and I always talk about it all the time. We're like, damn. Like my son Johnny and I have, you know, Vienna and Vincenzo coming.
Great
and I'm
names.
Like, thank you. And I'm like, I don't want them to grow up with a silver spoon in their mouth and a gold one up their ass.
That's not happening.
Right.
So at that point.
But, right? And that's what me and him were both saying. That's what everybody says.
Though, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not going to happen. Right? But there's only one way. And there's one road. Right? Yeah. There's no fork. There's only one road that develops somebody who is driven enough to want, or hungry enough to want something, and it's the lack of stuff, right? So it's whether that's, you know, the lack of love, whether that's the lack of, you know, the parent being close and giving them advice, whether it's the lack of financial resources, it's a lack of that gives them this stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's interesting. So how do you
How do you do it?
How do you provide that, still drive, but still be able to make sure they're taken care of, right?
It's tough.
That's it. And I mean, me and my fiance talked about this. I was like, my son, he's working for his first car. I don't care. I'm not giving
100%.
Like,
that's what I said, too.
Care. Like, you have all your basic needs met, but no, I think if you work hard for what you have, you appreciate it more.
1 bazillion percent.
If I just gave you a car, you'd be like, oh, great, thanks. But
cool. You crash it.
You're like, okay, I'll just get another one. It's like, but if I worked multiple hours and I bought that car cash myself, and whether it's a point A to point B car, right?
Yeah.
It's crap, but who cares?
Right.
You appreciate it more, and
but
you
it's
start
your but it's your car.
Yeah, and I work.
What was your first car?
It was a 2000 Saturn Ion that I bought for $3,000 cash, and it only had 20,000 miles on it.
What? That's a deal.
I got the best.
Steal.
Oh my god, the best mechanic, and he used to sell cars. Oh, he still sells cars on the side, but perfect mint condition.
Wow.
Worked in restaurants and just paid it off.
Wow.
And unfortunately, I totaled that on black ice going to high school.
Were you okay? Did you get hurt?
Oh, I was good. Yeah,
good,
I hit Belgian block. I was one of 14 cars who go off the same curve.
Oh, get out of here!
It was in a residential area too. It wasn't even that. We weren't going fast.
Wow.
Just sheets of ice. But then that crashed. Then I bought another one that was a Toyota Celica that I bought for around $3,000 too.
Yeah,
Had that for years.
Wow,
a two-door car. Just had it for years until I bought it first.
I remember that Celica. So yeah, mine was a '97 Acura CL.
Nice.
That I bought cash too. I think it was like $2,700.
Yeah.
It had 120 miles on it. And I thought that was nothing. I was like, this is fucking nothing. Yeah. 120,000 miles? Yeah. This is fucking brand new.
Exactly.
You know? I'm like, this thing, I might as well put a bow on this thing.
That's awesome.
But, but you know, I went to hell and back with that car, but I literally appreciated it.
Yeah.
Like, every fucking day, because it was my car.
Yeah.
And to your point, so I think the one thing that we haven't cracked the case yet, right?
Okay.
Because it's still out for jury. Our kids are still young.
Yeah.
But the one thing that – there's two things that Sal said that we were talking about.
Okay.
The one thing that he said that I want to throw your way, and anybody listening who has a new child or a baby or a kid, you know, whatever, you know, the mentality of almost all people that are parents and especially business owners have typically been, I'm going to work really hard right now so that I can spend as much time with my kids later in life, right? And – so we're sitting here, and Sal goes to me because him and I have both always shared that, like, let's do this so that like our family can live this lifestyle and whatever else, and you know we can be present with them.
Yeah.
And he said, I was talking to this person. They said to me, like, I'm doing the complete opposite.
Yeah.
He's like, because what happens when your kids go to like middle school?
Yeah.
They don't want nothing to do with you.
Nope.
High school, nothing to do with you. College, nothing to do with you. And it's not until they're older that they kind of like start to want to do shit with you again. And at that point, if you have free time, you know, or whatever. I mean, realistically, obviously, at that point in time, later in your life, you're going to have more free time naturally.
Yeah.
But when you're their hero
is
when they're fucking young.
Yeah. And I actually heard pretty recently that hit me like a ton of bricks.
Dude, me too, yeah.
Most people want to have a work-life balance.
Yeah.
Right?
Which I don't agree
with. We should be trying to have a life-work balance.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
But create the life that your work goes around.
Right.
Not create a life that just goes around with your work. You're working all these hours and then, little bit of my life's here. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Let's create the ideal life. What does it look like on paper?
Yeah.
And visualize that. And then, okay, how do I design my business around that?
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, you can be present with your kids.
Yeah.
Right? I think that hit me like a ton of bricks. So I was like, wow, it's just a small change in the wording, but it makes a huge difference.
It's huge. Yeah. Dude, after Sal said this to me, no matter what, even before, because like my... So, I will absolutely not, and it's funny because we're saying this on record. We can go back 10 years from now and look at it and be like, Joe, you asshole, you said you were going to do this. This kid's spoiled.
We have this on record. Yeah. All right.
But the one thing, though, that like I refuse to do is spoil our kids with any sort of financial stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I will 100% that like I did not get, right? And it's the one thing that I think matters is time. The only thing that I think matters in a kid's life when they're young is the time that you give them.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, like over the, like I've been doing this for 15 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
With my business, adapting. And so the first like 10 years of my life with this was just nonstop, like early, home late. Like never, like there was no such thing as any sort of balance.
Mm.
It was just work, right? And I loved it. And I don't regret any of it. I love what I do.
Yeah.
But with that said, you know, I started to say, wow, like I wasn't working out. I wasn't doing this. I wasn't doing the things that I cared about. And then eventually I started being like, well, I love what I'm doing, but I don't love how I look, or I don't love, like, you know, that I don't get to see my mom all the time, or I love that I don't get to see my grandma or hang out with my grandma. Yeah. And then eventually I had a fiance, then I had a wife, and I was like, I don't ever see her. Mm-hmm. And you know, my executive coach that I had at the time was like, the way that you work, because I look at business and my calendar. If something is in my calendar, I will, in most cases, for most of my life, be late everywhere. Mm-hmm. I will be at least 5 minutes late anywhere I go. It's a guaranteed. My wife hates it, right? Now, at the end of the day, if it's business, I'm always 10 minutes early. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I guess I just, it sucks to say, but I think I look at it in a more serious way. Mm. And so my coach goes, if something's in your calendar, you value it more.
Yep.
So let's start putting in your calendar the days you're going to go to the gym. Start putting in the calendar the days you're going to read a book. Yep. Let's start putting in the calendars the day you're going to go on date night with your wife. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yeah.
So now, this is like years ago. Now it's the point where, like, I have scheduled time in my calendar every morning to be with Johnny, to be with my wife in the morning with them, to, you know, date night still, you know, after work, shut off times where, like, I'm like dark mode just with the family. And that has been so, like, it's been so cleansing because it's like I'm itching to get back to work the next day because I'm like, I'm not looking at my phone. I'm being with my son, unless it's an emergency, of course.
Yeah.
But it's been so cleansing, right? Yeah. And I think the time that I give him and my two other kids that are coming, the time that I give them, right? I want them to always say, like, I saw this thing with Tom Brady.
Okay.
He got interviewed, and this little kid, dude, I literally was like, I got choked up watching it. Mm. The little kid was, everyone's asking all these questions, and this one little kid gets on the mic and goes, who's your hero? And he's sitting there, and Tom's like, And then he starts, like, tearing up. He goes, my dad. And I'm like, damn. I'm like, that's success to me.
Yeah.
If my kids go, my dad is my hero, and he is everything I want to be in this planet, even for my daughter, right?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you know, like, I'm a man, she's a woman, but, like, for her to be like, the values that my father has, the way he holds himself, the way he's there for us, that's, like, what I want, right?
I love that.
And so I think that's the biggest thing that we can do.
Yeah.
And teach them, right? Because, like, at the end of the day, like, I know, just knowing my brothers, I was the oldest of five kids, and I helped my mom, you know, raise my siblings, and, you know, so at the end of the day, like, they're gonna ask questions, right? Like, if my son's like, Dad, I want to get this car, right? And I'm like, no, you got to go buy, because he's gonna know, you got to buy your car, but you're driving a new G-Wagon. Why can't I have one? Because I bought it.
Yeah.
Right.
Worked hard for it.
You didn't buy it.
Yeah.
I bought it. So you have to buy your own.
Yep.
Right. It's like that type of shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yep,
but I want to talk them through that stuff, and it's going to be difficult. They're going to be pissed. They're going to hate you in certain moments.
But
why can't I do this? Yeah. My friends, you know, dad bought him a brand new Jeep. Why can't I have that? Right. It's like, am I your friend's dad? No. Right. So it's so hard in retrospect looking back, but like those lessons, like I had a lot of issues with my father growing up. Right. And now he's my best buddy. But it took, again, another Tony Robbins reference, it took me going through and hearing one thing from Tony Robbins and essentially saying, everybody in this room who has an issue with, like, their upbringing, everybody in the fucking room raised their hands, right? Because not everybody had a perfect upbringing. Yeah. But he said, if the person that you have the most resentment towards the most, right, has that those difficult times has made you into who you are today, if you have resentment towards them, still knowing that you are where you are because of them, there's something wrong with you, not them. And it shifted my whole relationship with my dad overnight. And I think at the end of the day, those challenges made you who you are.
Yeah.
And Brandon Novak, who we had on the podcast a couple years ago, do you know Brandon Novak?
I've heard, yeah.
He was on Jackass with Bam Margera and those guys.
Okay.
But he was like, my misfortune became my fortune, because now he goes on the road, because he was a crazy drug addict, like, almost died three times. His mom picked out a plot in a grave for him.
Holy
like
God.
Yeah. That's and he goes and now he goes on the road and he speaks to sobriety and, like, all these other mental health things. But I love that saying. It's like, most people, you either turn your misfortune into your fortune, or you stay and it forever becomes, it stays your misfortune.
Interesting.
All right, so before we wrap up here,
Two
last questions before we plug where people can find you.
Cool.
They're difficult. One's a little bit more difficult exercise of a question.
Okay.
And the one's, like, a little bit easier. It's a little mild, right? It's like a mild one. You know, one's a spicy, one's a mild.
Sounds good.
Which one do you want first?
Let's go with the spicy first.
All right, let's go. So we've been asking this question now for probably 2 years, better half 2 years. And well over 100 people, right? And the cool part about what you just said there was that, let's say, 98% of the entrepreneurs that have been on this podcast have asked for the difficult question first, which is very in line with an entrepreneur, which is we run towards the fire, not away from it.
Yeah.
So love that. So now, a lot of times we look at legacy from where Joe's feet are planted here today and looking forward of, you know, what you're going to do, how you're going to be remembered. I want to reverse engineer this and think about the one thing that will supersede you, your kids, their kids, and it's your gravestone. So if you were to write that today, right, paraphrasing, of course.
Of course, yeah.
What would that say? Who would Joe be remembered by? Like, how would Joe be remembered?
That is a spicy question. How would be remembered?
And remember, this is legacy. So this is, don't think about just you today. Think about what you want to be and what you want to be remembered by. So picture, so now, just to give you kind of like a movie, it's your great-great-grandkids walking up to your gravestone. And they don't know who you are. And it's two generations past you, right? So they're not like, Joe is funny. He was this, he was that. Great guy, you know, great beard. Like, they don't know you.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy.
They're only reading.
Do you know your great-grandparents?
I have a great-grandmother still alive. She's 98.
God bless her.
My God. But, which is insane, right?
That's insane,
So she's 98. Now, anybody else, I've never met any other great-grandparents. Like, I never even heard of them.
Yeah, like, I don't even know my great-grandparents. I don't even know their names. Right. I don't know anything about them.
Right. Don't hear about them, whatever.
Which is, like, kind of makes you think. I heard this for Alex Ramosi.
Yes, dude, I love when he says
he's the man. He's just like, you're going to be forgotten.
Yeah, nobody's going
to
know who you are.
No one knows. So what you do doesn't really matter. Just do what you need to do.
Yeah.
And do what you want to do. But in that respect, it's like, how do you make someone remember you?
Right. Right.
What kind of impact can you make?
Right.
So for me, I don't know what that'll be, but what I want it to be is, like, I want them to know my great-great-great-grandkids and just that I made a difference for them.
Right.
And something that can create a legacy, whether it's a massive real estate portfolio or whether it's just making an impact in people's lives. Like, if I say the podcast, they take your advice and start a podcast, but it helps a ton of people. Right. And that content lives forever.
Right.
Right. That's something that they can look at.
Right.
Something that's like a capstone almost.
Totally.
Right. In the insurance space, I mean, a little plug for my on that. And I created something for my son that which eventually will go into a trust that will create a legacy that they can use.
Right. Right.
That will be generational.
Right.
Which is something that's monetarily.
Yep.
But when you're thinking about making an impact and what that gravestone will say, just I want them to remember me for making an impact on everyone's life.
Like, yeah.
I don't know what that will be right now.
Right.
It's the first time I've ever been asked this question, which is really cool. But when it comes down to it, just making a difference.
Yeah.
That's really what I want it to be. And they'll remember me that way. Unfortunately, I don't know how, because I've been in a room where this question was asked. Does anyone know your great grandparents?
Right.
And then great great grandparents.
Right.
Only a couple people said great grandparents, they knew. Not a single hand went up, and over 200 people of great-great-grandparents.
Mm.
So what is it that's going to make the difference for them to remember you and know who you are? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but that's – I don't know if that answers the question directly, but kind of.
Yeah.
It's
difficult.
It's a difficult one.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things that I've heard over time that I like and stuff, and when I think about, like, my – like, I've had grandparents go that I've met, but I was too young to, like, remember, like, distinctively – and people would say, oh, you know, he's a great guy. He'd give the shirt off his back for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, oh, you know, funny guy. Always wants to make sure everyone's laughing in the room. Things like that. You know, like, so, you know, it's stuff like that that you think about. Because at the end of the day, Alex also says, too, which I love Hormozy.
Yeah.
He always says, too, like, you know, if you just give people your fortune and a trust, you're essentially going to be the person who put your family in this trajectory. Because you just gave them something, the car concept, right?
Well, with a spendthrift clause on it.
Of course. I'm just saying general.
I'm not handing them any. Like,
of course.
Oh, you got to put a lot of clauses in there. Yeah. Like, hey, you're not just getting millions of dollars. And there you go. That'll end up in the grave or something.
Of course.
Like,
God,
no way.
So, so anyway. But so lastly, last question is, has there been any quote or adage you've heard over the years that when it comes to like persistence and resilience, you know, that really stands out to you?
Oh, you said a quote?
Yeah, quote, something like that.
One that sticks out to me, I don't know if it's more resilience, but just about people.
Yeah.
Here's Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
It don't matter how much money you got, there's only two kind of people. There's saved people and there's lost people.
Mm. Safe?
Saved.
Oh, saved.
Saved people and lost people.
Got it.
So the way I look at that is money doesn't always make a difference. It matters who you are from the deep down.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. And you could have a gazillion dollars.
Right.
It could be miserable.
Right.
Or you could be broke and you could be the happiest person alive.
Right.
So it depends on your perspective.
But, love that.
That always hit me. I saw that when I was in middle school.
Right.
That's one of the quotes I still remember to this day.
Yeah.
But when it comes to persistence, I mean, not really a quote per se.
Yeah. I asked this question because when I first started adapting,
yeah.
I was 17. I was a teenager in high school still. And I remember like just being, I guess, a cheesy teenager, like looking up shit that I could like, you know, essentially print out and put on my walls and just motivate me.
Yeah.
And the quote that I found was, live a few years of your life like most people won't, so you can live the rest of your life like most people can't.
Yep.
And that's the life that I live right now.
Love
because
that.
I was in the trenches. And in a lot of different ways in my life, I am in the trenches in other ways.
Of course.
But it's like, in order for you to emerge, you have to struggle. You have to sink. Mm-hmm. Just the name of the game.
Yeah.
And I had to like look at that identity and say, or that you know, analogy and say, you know, wow, because most times when people are doing something in the beginning, right? Yeah. Like they start something and they're like, oh, well, I want to make $1 million first, you know, first year. I want to make the money I want to make, or I want to, you know, be crushing it the first year. I want to be notably recognized by people for doing what I'm doing the first year.
Yep.
And that's not how it works.
Yep.
Right. 99% of the time, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like you have to do it in silence for a little bit. You have to not make great money for a little bit.
Yep.
You have to like be just doing the work until you get to a place where you've done enough work that now it's chasing you.
Yeah, and to that regard too, the one other quote I thought about, that last sentence got
right
in my head, was a book I was reading recently that was saying the only easy day was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually Navy SEALs. They have that quote. I believe it's a Hell Week around that, whatever. So the only easy day was yesterday, but it's the same concept that if you think tomorrow's going to be easy because you just had a win and that's it,
you're gonna
get crushed.
Yep.
It's like the only easy day was yesterday. That's it. Now what's next?
Yep.
Because the second you take your foot off the gas or you think you made it, it's like you fall behind.
You're the best thing I ever heard. And I heard this when I was a kid. Was you're only as good as your next at bat.
I like that too.
Especially
in
business.
Yeah.
Especially in careers.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if you had a fucking grand slam yesterday.
Yep.
If you show up today and you don't have a grand slam ready again,
yep.
or if you ain't hitting them out of the park, that's all everyone's looking at.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's all everyone's looking at. I'll never forget when we just at the time opened up our Wall Street office in New York.
Okay.
And it was a huge milestone for us, right? And this is 2016.
Okay.
And so we were super stoked. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm up there, you know, we're celebrating, we're having a good time, you know, whatever. Long story short, and that same day, like I had, you know, everyone was like texting me like, oh, congrats. This is so epic. And I was dealing with other fires like at work that day and other things going on. And I wasn't even focused on the celebration. Right. Mm. And it's like when you're in business, that's kind of how it is, especially when when you're growing and scaling.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always just like, let's celebrate and just everything's great. Right. Yeah. It's like, what is your next at bat?
Yeah.
Like that was a win for me. But then there was something else going on, right? So in business, when you're the owner, the buck starts and stops with you. Yep. It's the 100%. Only person. So, all right, good stuff, Joe. It was so great having you here, man. It's great seeing you again. I'm glad you're doing well.
Thank you.
You look great, man. You have a wife. You said you're getting married?
Getting married, yeah. I feel like we've been getting married for years, but we're
there
not.
There you go.
Yeah, nah,
we'll call our wife anyway.
Yeah, I call her wife all the time.
You know, you have a healthy, beautiful son.
Yep.
I'm so glad to see that you're doing well. You have your own business now. Glad your family's doing well. Where can people find you?
So,
again, for social websites, they're looking for stuff. Where can they find you?
Yeah, at Joe Gamolas.
Okay.
The last name is GYUMOLCS.
Yep.
Good luck if you need help. Just reach out to John. But at Joe Gamolas on Instagram is probably the best way.
Cool.
And then we can connect from there.
Awesome, man.
So,
well, dude, I'm glad you're doing well.
Thanks, you too.
Guys, go give Joe a follow. You know, on your social, you give away tips. Are you talking about insurance and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that's nothing with the branding that I'm going to get more into.
Good.
But happy to help with anything I can.
Cool. Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Everybody, create a great day. You're in charge of it.